Ezekiel chapter 14. Take your Bibles tonight. We're going to read verses 14 through 21 together. And let's read this passage responsively. Ezekiel chapter 14, verses 14 through 21. These three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it. They should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. If I cause noisome beasts to pass through the land, they spoil it, so that it be desolate, that no man may pass through because of the beasts. These three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God. They shall deliver neither sons nor daughters. They only shall be delivered, but the land shall be desolate. Or if I bring a sword upon that land and say, sword, go through the land, so that I cut off man and beast from it, though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, but they only shall be delivered themselves. Or if I send a pestilence into that land, and pour out my fury upon it in blood, to cut off from it man and beast, and though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter. They shall be delivered of their own souls by their righteousness. For thus saith the Lord God, how much more when I send my four sore judgments upon Jerusalem, the sword and the famine and the noisome beast and the pestilence, to cut off it from man and beast. And let's pray. Father, once again, we need you. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you just use this sermon tonight to help you, your people. Lord, we sure do stand in need. This preacher stands in need. And Holy Spirit of God, would you please fill me with your power in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to jump right into the message. And I'll do just a touch of review for a moment, just of one thought of this morning. Of course, Wednesday night after church, my wife and daughter and I left. We drove to Kentucky to be with our son and daughter-in-law and our other son and his girlfriend for Thanksgiving. And it was a sweet time. It's been months and months and months and months since we have seen them. And we had good time building some memories together. It was a first in many ways for my wife and I and our family as a whole. We stayed with Josh and Ruth Ann in their apartment. It's kind of neat spending a couple days in a home that they pay for once instead of me paying all the bills. And that was a little bit of a first there. And our son, Jeff, he knew we were coming. He surprised his mama by spending the night Wednesday night. They got off work about 1 o'clock in the morning, and we got in about 5:30 or so the next morning. And he went to his brother's apartment, spent the night on the floor so that he could greet us when we walked through the door. And it was sweet. And we had fun eating and bowling and eating and shopping and eating and playing games and eating and just being together. I'll be honest with you, leaving was a little tough. It really was. Now, usually I do pretty good, but it was a little tougher on the old man this time. You say, why? My boys aren't boys anymore. They're men, and they're on their own. It's a little different. And allow me the freedom to say something. I literally have no control in their life. I don't. And when you walk away from that, knowing how tough that world is, that's a little harder. I'll say it this way. My boys don't have to listen to Daddy anymore. They don't. They make their own decisions. And by the way, it's not my business to step in and tell them what to do. I'm there if they want it. I can say, you think that's the best thing? And that's about as far as I can go. If they say, well, what would you want? Then I can tell them. If they say nothing, I let them make their own mistakes. Say why? Because that's what a man does to another man. But my wife and I talked about this. We enjoyed seeing our kids happy and succeeding, listen to this, at the way they were raised. It was enjoyable. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying I want him to move home. Trust me. But my wife and I were just pleased watching them living the way they had been taught to live and enjoying life because of it. There's just something about that. I guess I just wanted to savor it a little while. We weren't being arrogant, but you know, when your grown kids look at you and say, "Dad, man, serving God's great." Whew. There's just something about that. I've got one son. He's not in Bible college. He's just staying there and working hard, and he's got some other plans, but he's following his pastor's advice, and he's in church. He doesn't miss church. He's driving a van for a van route, and I'm as happy as could be. Just as happy as could be. Say why? He's doing what he thinks the Lord wants him to do, and he's happy doing it. He's talking about his kids on his route, and he's not the captain. He's just the driver. I love it. I love it. Now, God mentions three heroes in this passage. He uses Noah, Daniel, and Job several times throughout this passage. And I want you to notice, he uses a statement. He said, though these three men were here, and he said, they're responsible for their own righteousness, not their children. He said, if I cut their children off, it's not their problem. They're to live by their righteousness. Now, listen to me very carefully. Do you know that of these three men mentioned here, the only thing we have recorded about any of their children that did anything at all was one of Noah's sons, who was Shem, who the lineage of Jesus ran through, but you never find anything else about him. That's it. None of the others have children even mentioned. Other than Job had 10 that died, and his wife had 10 more after God restored it, and their names aren't even given. We don't even know what they did. Now, here's the truth I want you to get for the night. It's not going to be long. I know I've said that before, but this time I mean it. Here's the truth I want you to get. You cannot live life for your children. Catch that? You cannot live life for your children. God said they will answer to me for themselves. It is your job to show them, but they answer to God for their lives. Somebody years ago asked me my definition of Christian parenting. I said, it's very simple. You take the dependence a child has on a mom and dad at birth. And by the time they leave your home, that dependence is transferred to God. But when they leave your home, they leave your home. And whatever they depend on is between them and God. It's your job to point them to put all that dependence on God. You know, and I'm not afraid to say this. I work very hard to make sure I don't meddle with my kids. I really do. But I did not know my daughter-in-law's parents. He's an assistant pastor down in Miami, Florida. He would remind you of Brother Mike Bajant. He's just one of those kind of guys. Just a good, solid man. They've lived on nothing. Matter of fact, they lived in church houses that were built on the property there that were so infested by termites that when they moved out, they literally just went in and pushed it over by hand. They've lived with nothing. Good people. Good people. I've worked very hard at building a relationship with my son's in-laws. A bit of a professional, but yet personal friendship. I got a text over the weekend that Brother Provost texted me, and he said, can you call me when you're on your way back to West Virginia? I've only called him one other time. And so when we were driving back, I texted him. I said, I got 7.5 hours to go. Call that Will. A little while later, the phone rang, and we talked for a moment. And he told me something very sweet, very precious. I'm not going to tell you what it is. But he did, and I'll be honest with you, I was just so excited for him. My heart thrilled for him. You know, I'm glad I have that kind of relationship with my son's in-laws. Say why? I prayed for their daughter for 23 years. Matter of fact, I'm praying more for her now that she has my son than any other time. Any woman that can put up with my son Josh is a good woman, and a tough one too. But wait a minute. They have to answer to God for their lives. We've done all we can. We've pointed them in the right direction. We've given them all we can give them. Now it's theirs to answer to God for. Just a couple pages over, Ezekiel chapter 18. I'm going to read one verse to you. Verse number 20. Ezekiel 18:20. The Bible says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." Watch this. "The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him." Wow. That takes modern psychology and flushes it down the commode. You owe me a pizza, Donnie. God says, listen to this, God says that a child cannot blame a parent for their own sin. They answer to God for themselves. It also says a parent should not be blamed for their child's sin. They answer to God for themselves. Too many Christian parents have children that grow up and leave home and then don't do right. And they say, well, everything I did must be wrong. No, they answer to God for themselves. Out of the billions and billions and billions and billions of people that have been on the face of the earth, God the Father only had one perfect child. What chance do you have? Period. Just because you sin, is it God's fault? You say no. And when your children don't do right, and they're grown children, it's not your fault either, just so you know. Everybody doing all right? Okay, here we go. God said sin is not passed down generation by generation. I get sick and tired of people telling me, well, I do this because my dad did it, and it was wrong, and we knew it then, and I can't help it because my daddy did it. Well, you know what's right and wrong. You don't have to do it. My grandpa chewed tobacco. That doesn't mean I'm going to chew tobacco. Tried it one time and didn't like it. Amen. Find out why they spit that stuff and don't swallow it. Say, how'd you figure that out? I swallowed it once. That was enough. I thought, that's the nastiest stuff this side of the grave. Why in the world put that stuff in your mouth? And why put something in your mouth you can't chew and swallow? Doesn't make sense to me. That's why I don't chew gum. I can't stand the stuff. You say, why? You don't like the flavor? I move my mouth enough. I don't want to chew on something and not be able to swallow it. I can chew gum for about 60 seconds and then it's, oh yeah, I wasn't supposed to do that. I just don't chew it. Now, there's nothing wrong with it. To me, it's just a waste. Now, God said it's not your parents' fault that you sin. By the way, parents, it's not your fault that your child does wrong. Some of you are beating yourself up, destroying your own Christian life because you have grown children that aren't living right. And I hate to tell you, God said it's not your fault. They answer to God for their righteousness and their wickedness. Now, I'm going to give you three thoughts and then we're done. Number one, parents cannot guarantee that children succeed. Parents cannot guarantee success for their children. Did you catch that? Can I tell you something? Whether my children succeed or fail, I have been able to give them the principles by which to live. Once they leave my house, it's up to them, not me. And by the way, I can't guarantee the fact that they succeed. I'm going to make a statement here. Part of success is failure. You look at any one point in time in anybody's life, you'll say, well, they weren't real successful there. Has your life been total success all the way through? You've never made one failure? Part of success is failure. So there is no guarantee that your children being raised in any certain way is a guaranteed formula of success. I know children that grew up in very good homes, went to church every service. They grew up maybe even in preachers' homes. And I'm talking very well-known preachers, and their children turned out to be nothing but a bunch of animals. I said, well, they weren't real good parents. Why are you judging the parents? That's where we're wrong. See, you believe the worldly psychology that if a person does wrong, it's always somebody else's fault. Everybody doing all right? Here we go. You can give your children principles of success. You can give your children opportunity to succeed. But they need to learn how to put it all together and succeed on their own. Period. I taught my children how to do their finances. I've taught my children how to live successfully. I've taught my children to pay their bills on time. I've taught my children that if you don't have enough money at the end of the month, you got to figure out how to get the money to make it to the end of the month. My wife was baking to take some things with us for the kids, and she said, "Can we take some stuff to them?" I threw a couple bagfuls of meat in the stuff and took off. My son said, "Man, meat. You know how expensive that stuff is?" I said, "Yeah, now you know why we went hunting all the time." He said, "Man." He said, "First time we went to the grocery store and I started grabbing handfuls of meat and found out how much that was and started putting it back because we didn't have the money." He said, "That stuff's expensive." I said, "Now you know why you grew up grinding meat, cutting meat at the kitchen sink all the time." He said, "Oh, believe me, I told my wife that." He said, "I'm figuring out we saved a lot of money, didn't we, Dad?" I said, "We? Got a mouse in your pocket?" I said, "We nothing." I said, "You were the one sleeping underneath the hay bale when I needed you to kill a deer." And he would laugh. Now, wait a minute. They've had opportunity to succeed while we were there. They're, God bless them, they're in an apartment building. And it's not bad, but it's like where most couples start off. It's not the Waldorf Astoria either. You walk in and you can feel the draft on the floor because there's a sliding glass door in both bedrooms and there's a double sliding glass door in the living room. And I don't think they've been sealed since 1962. And I'm not kidding. The blinds on them are going ding, 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 like this as the wind blows. I said, "We got to do something here." So I went and bought some of that shrink wrap plastic and double stick tape. And I did the one room. He said, "Wow." Well, they only had enough for one at the one store. And I said, "When I'm out, I'll get more." So they got the others done right after we left. He said, "Dad, that's going to save me money on heating." I said, "Yeah, and if you leave it on in the summer, it'll save you on air conditioning too." He said, "Good idea." I said, "Yeah." He said, "Did we do this?" I said, "Yeah, you don't remember poking holes in it all the time and me having to patch those holes?" He said, "Oh, I would have never done that." You filthy liar. Now, wait a minute. It's amazing how smart mom and dad are after you become an adult. It really is. Parents cannot guarantee that their children will succeed. Look how many people have built a business, turned it over to their children, and the next generation destroyed it. I've done quite a bit of reading in recent days on Henry Ford. And Henry Ford was an amazing man. I don't think he was a saved man, but he was an amazing man. And Henry Ford built the Ford Empire and said there will be a day and probably many days that a Ford will not sit at the chairmanship of the Ford Motor Company. And the only way that they should is if they start at the bottom and work their way up and understand all levels of the work. He said, you don't become successful at running a company if you don't know what the guy out on the assembly line has to do. He said, we got too many fat cat people that know how to run a business on paper, but they don't know the first thing about running a business. Yes. Whew. Wow, that's pretty wise. Now, wait a minute. You cannot guarantee your children succeed. Number two. Each individual must choose success or failure for themselves. That's it right there. You know, I can't blame my mom and dad for anything I do. It's not their fault. I know they told me. I may not have listened. Let me rephrase that. I didn't listen. Always. But it's not their fault. Why is it that we want to blame somebody else? And I'll bring it down another level here. I'm going to take it away from parenting and move it to another level here. You know, I loved Brother Hiles. I loved my college that I graduated from, but I can't blame them if I fail. Do you know I have people that I went to college with, sat in class with, that heard the same teachers I heard. Matter of fact, sat in all the same classes together, and they want to blame all of their change on society versus the fact that they changed what they believed. We sat in the same classes. Matter of fact, I know people that used to teach me in those classes that changed. I'm not mad. They just don't believe what they once believed. They changed. I didn't. By the way, I'm not blaming the institution. I know people that are mad at Brother Hiles because they grew up in church and it's all Brother Hiles' fault. It's all Brother Owen's fault that they grew up in church and it's all their fault now and his fault that because they grew up in church and now they want to live like an animal. It's all, that's part of a cult. You know, they've been calling Christianity a cult for about 2,000 years. That's not a new term. Everybody doing all right? Okay, hang in there. did you know I answer to God for my success and failure? My children answer to God for their success or failure. I'm for having family devotions, but listen to this statement. I'd rather you teach your children to walk with God by themselves and never have a family altar than to have a family altar and children that don't know how to walk with God on their own. Everybody doing okay? See, they've got to learn how to walk with God on their own. By the way, quit beating yourself up if your children didn't turn out like you thought they should. It's not your fault. It's not your fault. Say, well, I took them to church and I did this. And I did. I wonder if I should have. It doesn't matter. They had enough truth given to them. They answer to God for their righteousness. They answer to God for their wickedness. Everybody doing okay? Remember next. I'm almost done. Don't count your children out as long as they're still alive. As long as they're still sucking air, they got a chance to do something for God. Do you know that justice looks at a whole life, not just a portion of it? One thing that I appreciate that I learned most going through some battles, not my battles, but watching older men of God go through battles. I watched a couple of Brother Hiles' children mess up royally. And I mean horribly. I watched people all over the nation say, Brother Hiles, you ought to resign your church. Your children messed up. And they were in their 30s and 40s when they messed up. You ought to resign your church. You couldn't even raise your kids right. Wait a minute. They've been out of the home for years. Had their own families. Why is it his fault they turned out bad? Why should he quit the ministry because those children didn't answer to God for what they were trained for appropriately? He said, no, I'm not doing that. And man, did he take some heat. He lost friends over that. Did you know that? You named the great man of any generation. D.L. Moody, Charles Spurgeon, J. Frank Norris, Billy Sunday, G.B. Vick, Lee Robertson. Show me any of them that had children that did much. You want to blame them? Everybody doing all right? Okay. Justice looks at the whole life. Aren't you glad God didn't judge Noah by how his sons turned out? I hate to tell you this. I really believe Noah had more than three sons. He only had one that was born after he was commissioned to build the ark, and that was Shem. And that's the only one listed that did anything right for the Lord, and he was in the lineage of Jesus. Everybody doing okay? What about David? Look how many things David did wrong. Look how many of David's children ended up screwing up. Absalom led in a rebellion. Amnon raped one of his own half-sisters. Both David's children. I could go down the line of all the problems. That was the man after God's own heart. Those are out of the words of God, not my words. How about Moses? Did you ever see any of Moses' children doing much? How about the Apostle Paul? The Bible mentions Daniel. We don't even know how many children Daniel had. Where are they? What did they do? How about Peter? Peter did a lot of things, but we do know that he had a foul mouth. We do know that he denied the Lord three times. We do know that he changed his doctrine when he was with Jesus a couple different times. And if you don't only look at those times of his life, you'd say, boy, he wasn't a very good Christian. Hey, wait a minute. God used him to preach Pentecost too. Guess there was hope for him. The other disciples. You know, you never hear anything about their children and what they did. I'm not saying none of them had children that did things for God. It's just not recorded. Did you catch that? Some of us put all of our eggs in the basket of, I'm going to do everything I can to make sure my kids succeed, that you lose your own success, and you cannot guarantee the success of your children. And by the way, some of you have had children that messed up. I have. Guess what? It ain't over till as long as they're still sucking breath. Say, well, he's going the right direction. He's going the right direction right now, and I hope he stays there. But we'll know in about 50 years. If his wife doesn't kill him before then. Now, you don't have to approve of the wrong your children do. You know, I've had to make some tough decisions. I remember the day when I looked at one of my children and said, no, you can't come home and live. Not when you're living that way. Here's the rules. You follow the rules or you find somewhere else to live. But where will I go? That's your choice. I've made that decision. He made his choice to not come home. And I remember my wife and I crying bucket loads of tears for a long time. But that's what it took to break him. Wasn't going to mollycoddle it. I said, look, when you come over, there's certain things you're not going to do at my house. You have a brother and sister. You know how they're raised. You live this way at my house, period. I won't be unkind to you. I'm not going to talk bad about you. Never have, never will. He just chose not to come around as much. Say, did that hurt? Like you can't believe. But when he was tired, he said, Dad, I'm ready. Whew. I was the first one at his side. Couldn't wait to get there. Hang on. Worldly psychology blames parents for all the wrong. God does not. Sometime go through the story in the book of Luke about the prodigal son. I want you to notice something about the story. Did you ever notice Dad never left home to go after the wayward child? He made a place available for him to come back to when he was ready to live the right way. But he never chased after. Say why? That child was not a child, it was an adult. He was grown. And he said, I'll look for him. If he ever comes back, I'll take care of him. As long as he's willing to follow the rules. And I'll make a place available for him to come back to, but it's my job to stay here with the one that is living right, keep things going successfully, keep doing what I did, even when the other one was here. Can I tell you something? It's hard when your children grow up and they don't make good decisions. Man, it's hard. I remember one day, my dad corrected my brother. And my grandfather didn't like how my dad corrected my brother. This is a true statement. It wasn't me that time. It was my brother. And my grandfather spoke up to my dad in front of my brother, and my dad said, Dad, shut up. It's my son. If you want to talk to me about it, talk to me when I'm done. My grandfather backed up. My dad finished. He said, let's go talk. And they walked around the back of the house. My dad said, Dad, my grandfather said, son, I was out of line. You're right. I still don't agree with what you did, but I should not have stepped in because that's not my child, that's yours. You were right. I was wrong at that point in time, and it won't happen again. That's pretty tough, but it's pretty right. Pretty right. Can I tell you something? Because your mommy didn't burp you doesn't give you an excuse to grow up and do bad things. Well, I became a mass murderer because my daddy didn't take me to enough ball games when I was a kid. That's a bunch of garbage. Now, I believe you ought to live a good example for your kids. I really do. It did my heart good. My wife and I were talking about this. Kids had a medical need that they were working on, And God has miraculously started to provide for them. I've let them struggle a little bit with it. You say, why? They need to learn to depend on God. They didn't ask for my help. They just said, pray. What can I help you with? Just pray. Okay. I can do that. You need help with this? Nope, just pray. God is supernaturally intervening. Her dad, same situation. I loved the text I got from her daddy. It said, believe God's got something great because they're starting off on a rough foot on this one. I said, yeah, getting tested early means big work later. I said, it's not fun for us to watch them go through it, but we're grizzled little veterans. We understand it. He said, yeah, and it's no fun watching somebody else go through it. I said, no, it's not, but there's joy on the other side of it. If they'll learn it now, they might not have to learn it as many times as it took us to learn it. He kind of chuckled back. I said, I don't know if you had to go through it more than once. He said, let's not talk about that, Brother Bush. I said, I kind of figured you and I are a little bit alike that way. I said, I didn't always learn it the first time either, but maybe they will, since they're getting it a little earlier. You can't live your life through your kids. Dads, you're not going to make your son the ball player that you weren't. Dads, okay, my dad is a mechanic. Through and through. Amen, Brother Kermit? If it's got something mechanical to it, he can do it. I'm as opposite of that as can be. My mechanical ability is 1-800-MEL-BUSH. I'm not kidding. I can't figure it out. I am not wired for mechanics. My brother, he tore his first lawnmower apart when he was 5 years old and put it back together and got it working. Now, I tore one apart, and it's still rotting in the junkyard. I get it apart, but I always had extra parts left over, and they never did work. You say, why? Couldn't you learn it? It just wasn't in me. I imagine I could make myself do it, but God had other plans for me. I love my daddy. He's never taught a Sunday school class one time in his life. He does not like talking in front of people. He literally threatens to kill me every time I call him up here to pray. He hates it. I mean, hates it. I think that's why he goes to Florida for 4 months. I don't know, but he hates it. But wait a minute. I've been doing it for a long time. He's not forced me into being what he was. He allowed God to use me to be what God wanted me to be. Did he always understand it? Nope. First time I preached at First Baptist in that massive auditorium, he said, son, I'm glad it's you and not me. I said, I wished it was you right now and not me. Man, I'm scared to death. He said, I'd have told him no. I said, I can't. He said, you could. I said, I'm not gonna. I said, it's what the Lord wants. He said, that's where you and I are different. He doesn't want me doing that. Now you give me a car, I'm scared to death of that stupid thing. Try to fix it. There's no way. I have to pay the extra money to get somebody to fix it. Say why? Because I just don't think that way. You know, I have one son that's a bit more mechanical than the other. It's okay. I've not forced them into a mold. Don't force your kids into something they're not. I told my son today, God's will is progressive. It's step by step. You just do this step, God will show you the next one. You don't know the end right now. There's nobody that will tell you that they know the will of God for the rest of their life unless they know they're dying in 24 hours. You asked me 30 years ago what the will of God for my life was, I'd have told you a missionary in Mexico. A few years later, God showed me it was the assistant pastorate. And a couple years ago, God showed me it was pastoring. I wouldn't have chosen any of them. But God did. It's just that simple. God's will is progressive. Step by step, step by step, step by step. Let's just realize we have to teach our children to answer to God for themselves. Let's realize, parents, we answer to God for ourselves. Quit beating yourself up if they're not doing right. By the way, don't take too much credit if they do turn out right. It's all God, not you. You're going to be careful. You're going to brag about how good your kids are, and then 5 years from now, one of them is going to screw up, and then you're really going to be in trouble. Don't take too much credit. It's God, not you. They have to answer to God for that. By the way, that's why when they're little, you teach them to take responsibility. Teach them to tell the truth. Boys and girls, can I tell you something? If you do something wrong, admit it. Learn to take the responsibility, right or wrong. It'll turn you into an adult the right way. We've got a government full of people that don't know how to take accountability for what they're doing. Got a president who's run a nation for 6 years with no budget. And we're just letting him do it. Taking us almost $10 trillion more in debt than he did 6 years before. Just spend it. No accountability. And gets mad when somebody wants him to be accountable. We have a whole government full of people like that. You have places of business like that. We all answer to God for ourselves. You can't live your life through somebody else. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I promised you I'd be done. We are. I wonder, maybe some of you need to realign some things. Maybe there's a boy or a girl here. You haven't been accountable like you should. Some of you want to blame your mom or your dad or your stepmom or your stepdad. Hey, you got enough truth. You know what to do. It's nobody else's fault but yours. Quit hiding behind the fact that you have a step parent. Learn to love them as much as you love your other parent. That's what you're supposed to do.